There is no one like you. And Lord, I thank you that every person in this place feels the freedom to lift up their voice to you and you alone. You and you alone. Because you are the only one that deserves the worship. You are the only one that deserves the praise. You are the only one that deserves all of everything that we have inside of us, Lord God. And Lord, we just honor you. We just honor you.
Your glory, God, is sick face all is stripped away, and I simply come longing just to breathe something that's a word that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within.
Thank you.
Beyond our thinking that reached down and grabbed us. I thank you for a love that created us. I thank you for a love that longs for fellowship with us. Lord, I thank you for the creation that you have put on this earth. I thank you for our daily food that we eat. I thank you for the houses that we live in. I thank you for the people that are in our lives, Lord God. I thank you for the family that you've put us in. I thank you for the children that you've given us. Lord God, I thank you for the peace that you give us that surpasses all understanding. Lord, I thank you that you make us mighty warriors. Lord, I thank you that you put us here and you didn't leave us alone and you gave us the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the power that comes with it, Lord God. I thank you that in my life and in everybody's life on this earth, Lord, you have thought so intricately about everything that we needed, everything that was going to come up, everything, 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 and you left nothing undone. I thank you that your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I thank you that you are a rescuer. Lord, I thank you that you have mercy and compassion and grace. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you that you're our Father. And I just give you glory. I just give you glory. I'm in awe of everything you've done. Forgive us for every time we've complained. After everything you've done for us, forgive me for the times my faith was weak. After everything that you've done, but I thank you, Lord. weakness, you reached down and you didn't let me go. I thank you that nothing could take me from you.
More than the song I sing, more than anything. the air I breathe, more than the song I sing, more than anything. I need you more. Let's tell him tonight.
Never to back down, never to back up. I choose, Lord God, because you first chose me. And I am grateful.
Name of all names. The Lord. Amen? Amen. I tell you what, God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
All the time.
And all the time God is good.
Amen.
Listen, I want to tell you something tonight that I'm probably only going to spend about, 10, 15 minutes speaking with you tonight. Then we're just going to go back into worship. You know, I really think that it's time for us to truly, personally evaluate ourselves. I want to give you a warning tonight. The body of Christ has become so disrespectful towards God and His covenant that people won't honor their father and their mother. They won't even honor relationships one to another. They have no respect or value in the personal family or even within the family of faith. In a moment of time, people will turn like cancerous worms and bite each other. You know, it's almost like this. As a church or as an individual, you can't make one small error without someone who you've paid a price for to be in relationship with in a moment of time jerking this way and that way, forsaking the hope, forsaking love, turning their back on people who have sowed and invested in them. You know, I want you to know something, that I have loved Kenton, Ohio for more years than I've ever been here. And I will tell you without fail that from the first day I preached in this church, people said he won't stay. He loves Botkins more than us. He'll turn his back. He's going to run. There ain't no way. Well, I want you to know I love Hardin County, and I love the people I have met so far. And I want you to know that you better get ready, because this house is going to support every other house around here. This house is going to have people running from the ball field to the north end, to the south end. I met a beautiful couple today in Lima, Ohio. They used to be a part of Pastor Brad Ellis's church. And they were just telling me, "Whoa, we've heard about you guys, and we're coming." I want you to know that we were at a restaurant recently, and a woman said that she's so touched by us men and what we do in our meetings. She said, "I have seen some of these men that I've known change from an outward nature to an inward nature, where I just want to hear what you guys have to say." And that lady said that it's been so long since she's ever been able to be part of a church that she is still working on it, but she can't wait. She said, "I was at the ball field." She said, "And I saw you out there walking around." I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't scare you, did I?" She said, "No." She said, "For the first time, I said, man, I see my church that I can come to again." I'm telling you that the Lord had me in prayer this whole last several weeks, and I've been fasting. And the Lord told me not to just tell this church, but tell the body of Christ in general. How dare they come to the point where they give no honor to His Son? I said, "What do you mean, God?" He said, "It as if in the body of Christ right now, it's like my son, whether we are in the northern part of America, the southern part of America, whether we be in Italy Europe, whether we be anywhere, except for some of the more meager, humble places where wealth is not in such abundance as your nation, Philip. He said, it is though people has made my son so common that he has no respect within the very land that he paid a price for. I said, well, God, what do you mean? He said, first of all, Jesus didn't just pay a price for your individual souls. He paid a price to put many ministry gifts such as yourself and your wife into cities. He said, Philip, you are a gift from God. Now, I'm telling you, most pastors are afraid to preach this in their church, but since we're the church of the second mile, I don't think we should hide anything. I don't think I need to be backwards, and I don't need to squirrel out of town and have someone come in here and preach for me and tell my people that they should honor the vessels that have put before them. But I'm telling you, some of you, if you keep touching me and Regina with your mouths, you ain't going to live that long. Not all of you. In fact, I pray that every person in this house is so centered and so well with God's relationship that they would never touch us, because I never touch your lives. But I tell you what, we might have our internal little moments of this or that, but I tell you what, I never talk bad about one person in this church. When I'm out and about, you guys are the best of the best. You are the church of the second mile. I'm so proud of every one of you that I tell you what, someone could think I was puffed up and full of pride the way I honor you guys. And I expect that when I'm out doing what God has me to do, I expect my back to be covered. I expect my wife's back to be covered. Because guess what? When you ain't here, I cover your back. And I'll tell you what, I got to be honest with you. I won't say anybody here tonight, but I'll tell you, there's people who's a part of this church, that's part of this family, that have rode my back up and down inside of it, has spoke so many lies about me, and guess what? I have never revealed their nakedness, not to one person. If they've asked me about any one of you, I said, oh, that's a great person. Oh, that's a great person. And some of you, and I'm talking to people that may be live streaming, some of you have sliced my back up so bad that it's a good thing I'm a strong man. You've done sliced my wife up so bad that it's a good thing she's a strong lady. But our backs never get tired of carrying the stripes of the body of Christ. When you need to tear me up and you need to tear me down, when our building's delayed, when things didn't happen the way you want to, when people were under pressure because we had to go to a couple services, if anybody need to slice me up, I was right like this. Jesus, I'll carry my cross. I'll carry my weaknesses, and I'll carry the congregation's weaknesses. Slice me and dice me. Kill me if you need to, but we're going to resurrect, and we're going to be the church of the second mile. And I got to tell you something. I've been hearing about your love. I've been hearing about you guys checking on each other. I've been hearing about you guys supporting each other. I've been hearing about journeys where people are stepping beyond themselves. I've been hearing stories about you guys reaching towards each other and doing all this. Now, while I'm hearing those good stories, let me tell you something. There are still some wolves among us. There are some devils. There are some backbiting, lying, hypocritical dogs that need to repent. There are people that have accused me of endangering their families, yet they're willing to destroy and hurt marriages and everything else. Puffed up, full of themselves. But you know what? We're going to cover it. We're going to love them. We're going to forgive them. I want you to know that just this week, I'm going to fast several days, and I'm just going to lay on my face, and I'm going to say, God, including myself, if I have been prideful, forgive me and prick my heart and show me my nakedness. God, before I even look or even think about or even have the thought of touching a speck in my brother's eye, God, remove every beam from my eye. Father, you've birthed me into a new realm. And God, I'm going to wait patiently for people who do not know me yet in my new glory. But in the meantime, God, Lord, if we have sinned as a church, if we have sinned as individuals, oh God, I repent for myself and every one of us, God. Lord, if we have been racist, if we've been offended, God, if we've been arrogant, Lord, if the delay of the building has caused us to be offended, God, if anybody has heard anything about me or anybody else in a wrong way, Lord, I just repent for the body of Christ. Lord, I come humbly before you, Father, and I thank God that I have a right to intercede and stand in the gap. But, Father, we're going to be people that love you. We're going to be people that trust you. Lord, I thank you that as pastors, Pastor Regina and myself, Father, we will forgive 490 times in a day and wipe the slate clean for everybody tomorrow. Hallelujah. Because it's what you do for us, God. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord Jesus, if any has fallen short, including myself, and been a sinful man, a prideful man, a sinful woman, a prideful woman, a sinful child, a prideful child. Father, as the leader of the Church of the Second Mile, right now, Regina and I repent of all of our human weaknesses. And God, we repent for our house. Oh, Lord, I would pray that even if people make a mistake, Lord, sometimes we're trying to create a safe environment and we might be overzealous. Lord, we're trying to include people and to shake someone's hand that we're really drawn to. We might accidentally overlook someone else. But God, you're going to show our pure hearts. You're going to show our pure motives. And God, we will carry the stripes of Jesus. We will carry our cross. We will pick it up every day, God. Lord, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and only the violence can take it by force. And in the kingdom of God, violence is opposite of what it is in the natural. Violence is not filled with anger or hostility. Violence is not filled with offended, puffed up attitudes. Violence is not filled with a heart of unforgiveness. If that church does this one more time, I'm done. If that pastor, if that friend of mine, oh my goodness, that person that fell back into alcohol for the 10th time, that person that backslid on drugs for the second or third time, if that happens one more time, I'm done. Oh Lord, I repent. God, that we would ever have the arrogance to not believe that, whether it be the woman at the well, whether it be the demoniac, whether it be the crippled man, Father, whether it be the man filled with devils, Lord, whether it be the soothsayer, even those who tried to use the name of the Holy Ghost wrongfully, Father, I pray that right here in the Church of the Second Mile, we'd have the hearts of kindness and patience, Father. Lord, we'd be like Noah's good son. These weren't children, these were grown men. And Noah had a son that revealed his weakness and his nakedness and his drunkenness. But there was two sons that stood in agreement. They stood in unity. They stood in love. They would not even look at their own father's nakedness. They backed up with their faces turned away from him. And they covered him. They didn't even want to see their own father's weaknesses, Father. Lord, I pray that tonight, God, we would just be a people that quit looking at the specks in other people's eyes. We'd be a people that are filled with a heart of forgiveness. Lord, I know and I pray, God, there are families, there are sons and daughters that I saw in a vision in the new building. And God, I pray that those who are here now would find the mercy, their forgiveness, the grace to be strong, to stand in the gap, and to lay down their life to provide for the seed of the righteous, than to just pick up their moment, walk out that door, and leave themselves lost. Father, I just thank you in the name of Jesus that as people come to this church, they'll come to other churches. God, I thank you that as long as we're willing to be foolish in the eyes of men and wise in your eyes, God, that forgiveness, recovery of the sight of the blind, removing wickedness, bringing people into places of mercy, bringing people into places of being covered, being supported, being loved. Oh, Lord, I pray, like the book of John says, that we would be known for our love. Not an outward love, not a religious love, not a you better dress right, you better look this way and act this way. No, no, no. The kind of love that would let children in dirty clothes come and sit on the lap of the master and have him say, oh, suffer not these little babies to come under me. Snotty nose, dirty diapers. These weren't the Jewish babies. These weren't the babies of wealth. They knew how to keep order. But these babies were the babies that needed help. They didn't know the proper order of service. And they came and sat on his lap. He didn't worry about his clothes getting dirty. He didn't worry about poo-poo in their pants. He just said, suffer not those little children. Let them come unto me. Father, I pray that we would be such an oasis of love, such a shelter of hope, that if a man or a woman would fall down 3, 7, 8 times, that, Lord, we would be like you and pick them up. Father, we love you. God, we carry our cross. God, we humble ourselves. Lord, we become nothing that you could become everything. We give you our hearts, God. What more could we do? You said, what have I required? Just that you love me. And loving you isn't lifting up holy hands on Sunday, leaving offended, pouting on Monday. No, no, no. Loving you is that, Lord, we love you no matter what. And we love people no matter what. Because you will strengthen us to be merciful people the second mile. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. My part's done. I'm going to study to show myself approved. I'm going to repent. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to have a heart that has no room of anything towards you except for my love, my mercy, and my faith. Listen, I believe that every dream in your heart is going to come to pass before you die. I hope you believe it. I believe that there's people that prayed for years to get a pastor in this house that would raise up what old Brother Ellis had started. I tell you what, I've heard the stories of the Pentecost. People might have forgot, but right here in this church that we're a part of, right here, a man that was part of Smith Wigglesworth's ministry came and preached revival, and the kingdom of God came right here in this city. I got to ask you a question. Will we get off of our false pride? Will we get out of religion? When we keep trying to look like the perfect church of this and the perfect church of this, and when we get on our knees, and listen, I don't care if you don't like how I spit when I preach. I don't care if I don't say all my words perfect. I don't care if I come up with 1,000 new vocabulary words like hallelujah. It's been a while since I created my own lyrics, like when I told you about evolution ain't real and we're never going to see a drog. We're always going to have frogs and dogs. Remember, I told you we ain't never going to have a chagoose because we're all going to have chickens and geese. Listen to me. I might not get it right. I might not be hermeneutically right. I might offend you. I might hurt your feelings. I might preach a little strong for you. But I tell you what, you're not going to find another man or a woman that will chase down the gates of hell. You're not going to find another man or a woman that will take on every Goliath of your life and give you forgiveness 1,000 times till we get you to the point that you can walk your own walk. Amen. that you can talk your own talk, and that you can be children of God. What more must we do? You know, I took trips to Africa, and we had people say that we were taking money and using it over there and couldn't build a church. I want you to know something. I was going to Africa way longer before you ever knew my name. And I tell you what, we're still going to go to Africa. But we are going to build a church in this house over there that's going to cause people to roll down that road, not for some dog trials. Listen, that old dead stuff is gone. And listen, I honor all of you. Hunt your coon dogs, do whatever you want to. I still like to throw me down a few buckshot towards a deer every now and then. And I tell you what, I'll eat me some deer meat. These guys had me at old some. I can't get into that tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. I love the outdoors. And I'm not offended by the old coon dog trials, except for the people that fell in the ditch and died and got beat half to death and all the, I hate to say it, but rape and drug selling and prostitution. I didn't like any of that stuff. But what I'll tell you is, I'm not afraid of Kenton Strong. I'm not afraid of the attitudes. I ain't afraid when you come all up in my face. And I ain't afraid to come up in your face. Amen? But I ain't coming because I hate you. I'm coming because I love you. And I see the devil playing games in your life. You might try to talk to me pretty on the outside, but I'm going to go through that, and I'm coming like a warrior because we're snatching you up out of the kingdom of darkness because the Lord told me that I should leave the night. Listen, you guys are going to be all right if I'm gone for a night. You guys are going to be all right. You're going to bring the kingdom down. You're going to love. You're going to cover. You're going to bless. You're going to pray for. You're going to lift up. But I'm coming back because if I have to leave, I'm only leaving because I got a responsibility to go get the one. But I'm going to be right back here getting the ones down the street, helping you get to where we need to go and helping you come out of the kingdom of darkness. And that young lady back there, she's stronger than I ever was. You know, this one time, we came up to help Randy at the church downtown. And I came and we preached the house down. Even Sister Deanna had a granddaughter that came back to the Lord. Amen? But the next time I came, they asked Miss Regina to preach. And not only did she preach, and we were there till like midnight praying for people and everything, but this is the part y'all probably don't know. We had pastored already in the 90s. And I said, God, are we going to have to do this again? Because I said, after Miss Regina preached, I feel like, boy, she won't like it. But if you want us to do it again, I believe we could. And he said, Philip, I'm going to give you a confirmation that you're ready. So I was looking all day. Oh, shakatokoroba. I was fasting. Oh, God, show me, show me, show me. And I'll tell you what happened. Whose notebook is this? Can I borrow it for a second? If I drop it on the floor, is it okay? All right. I don't want to make you mad. But I was at home, and I was doing my crazy. She'll tell you. She's had to come down and say, Philip, stop. We have neighbors. We're in an apartment. You're beating on the walls. Now listen to me, I love you, baby, but it's like 4 o'clock in the morning, and the neighbors, if they call the police, you're going to jail. You're going to the straitjacket. Stop it. Okay, honey, I will. She'll go back to bed. But this day, she was at work, and I got to stay home, and I was fasting and praying, and I said, God, you promised me that you were going to show me a sign. And right when I said that, without me touching anything, her notebook did that. And it did just like that, except for it opened itself up. Because I got to tell you something, back in those days, it ain't so much like this then, but back in those days, Regina was still a little private. And she had her own diary and notes, and I didn't nose around them all the time. Am I lying? Am I telling a false story so far? Because if you got to correct me, you correct me. I forget details sometimes, so she has to help me. I might go too far or not far enough. But on this particular day, her notebook from where she preached right up here in the center of Kenton fell open, and it wasn't for Sunday night. It was for Monday night. And Miss Regina had already written a... This is when I knew we were going to be the church of the second Bible. Because Miss Regina had already written a service for Monday night. Now, Sister Deanna, at that time, you remember you guys had a covenant out of Ephesians 3:21. And the first time I came and preached, Randy used to open every service with Ephesians 3:19 through 20:21. And that was my ending note. And I said, man, this has never happened to me before. I said, because this is supposed to be my ending. So, but the Lord told me tonight to start with my beginning. So I got to tell you this scripture. Then I'm going back and preach this message. But for some reason, the Lord told me to open the service with Ephesians 3:20. Well, you guys had been praying that and saying it for week after week after week. That's how Randy was opening the service. And then the very next week or two when we came back, Regina's preaching, and I thought I had done something because I got a revelation of a scripture. And then that book opened up. And when she came home, I said, honey, you need to tell me about this book. She said, are you in my personal book? She said, honey, this is ridiculous. Did you open it? I said, no, honey, I didn't open it. It fell open. She said, Phil, it's up here on this counter. It couldn't just fall open. Were you in my book? I said, no, babe, it fell open. God showed it to me, and I already know what this means, but I need to hear it from your mouth. She said, this is just ridiculous. You don't need to look at my book, and it's not important what I had written in there. I said, honey, it's critical what you had written in there. I said, I need to know, what is this message for Monday night? And with tears in her eyes, she said, honey, I wrote that message in case God wanted to have revival. Now listen, I love every one of you. And I'm not being mean. Sometimes we make the mistake of thinking that just because we've been in church for more years than someone else. Now I've only been at this thing 25 years. I'm a young buck. I'm young. 25, 27 years. That's all I've been doing this thing. But I want you to know that in all of these years, other than the old revivalists like a Smith Wigglesworth, I ain't met a preacher today that I know of personally, and I've asked them, that's been scheduled to preach on just a Sunday night service and prepared a whole nother message, wrote it out in detail for the Monday night service that was yet unscheduled, just in case her God wanted to have revival. So she doesn't even know it, but she has stirred me because I'm telling you, I'm starting to fast for messages for Friday night. I'm starting to fast and write messages that are unscheduled for Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday night, because I believe that once we get in that new building, I don't know how many times, Brian, I'm going to get a phone call and they're going to say, Pastor Phil, we've heard what's going on Sunday, but we work all the weekend long. Would you? And I tell you what, I'm going to run in there on Saturday night and just open up the church and have a spontaneous night where we just worship God. And we're just going to run out here and say, hey, church tonight, church tonight, church tonight. Don't you think that would get somebody to come into the house to see what's going on? I've been writing messages from the beginning of this year for services that aren't even scheduled yet in honor of God. And in honor of my wife, who gave me the first confirmation that we're the church of the second mile. Now listen, I don't want you to raise your hands. But what's the longest fast that you ever did personally? And don't raise your hand. What's the longest fast you ever did personally where you didn't eat and you didn't ask for anything except for God to bring an anointing into this house that would set captives free? Because I don't want you to think I'm puffing myself up, but I want you to know something. Before we ever opened this building, once we bought it and was cleaning it out, after everybody would leave, and I was here cleaning until 9, 10, 11 o'clock, I would go over to Randy Mayer's house, I'd get my shower, I'd kiss my sweetie, she'd go home, And I slept right here on this pulpit for 21 days. Right here. We get along good, don't we, baby? Listen, and here's what would happen. Was it Saturday or Sunday night when you would come over and sleep up here with me? And people probably thought we were nuts. I could have bought me a hotel room every night. Listen, I'm not being cocky, but your pastor has had finances for a while now. Not church's finances, his own finances. I could have went to the hotel anytime I wanted to. I could have stayed in Lima. I could have stayed anywhere. I didn't need a hotel. What I needed was to break the curse of what's been in this city, and I needed to make a way for us to have a clean pulpit. And you know what? People have been offended at how I preach. They've been puffed up at how I preach, thinking I'm arrogant. I'll tell you what's arrogant. The hard-heartedness of Hardin County and how they've killed and ran many ministers out of this town. But you ain't killing me. And you ain't running me out of town. Because I tell you what, not only do I have the Lord on my side, I got a spear-wielding wild woman that is crazy enough to believe that God gave her something and we're going to go someplace with it. So support us, love us, or get out of the way. Because I want you to know that in Mark chapter 6, Jesus was casting out devils and clearing the mind of a demoniac in chapter 5. Then he got shut down in his own city. And the people that should have honored him, respected him, and loved him the most, he couldn't even pray for them to get the common cold clear. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I have looked at people in this church who I've prayed before, and they got healed in a moment's time. Prayed for them again, and they stayed sick. And I knew why. Dap, 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 dap. Now, I love you, but I'm just going to be real with you. And if any of you got to ask me the question, was it me? Just come up and ask me right to my face. Listen, honey, I know I made you mad right there. But I love people too much to tell them a lie. Didn't your Lord and Savior look at the rich young ruler and said, yeah, you've kept all the commandments, buddy, but go give some away. Get some of that money that I helped you get out of the bank and go give it away. And he said, yeah, I'll keep the commandments and drink my communion and puff myself up and wear my nice clothes, but you ain't getting my money. Jesus didn't say, oh, I'm so sorry, I spoke harshly to you. No, it said he looked at him and loved him, and with compassion, he let the young man go and then looked around and said, listen to me, people. The hardest thing for a Christian is once the blessing of God comes upon them to stay humble. And not be rich in this world, and not be rich in your religion, and not be rich in your puffed upness, but be humble enough to just let God do what he does. Now listen, I had no idea. I didn't intend to do any of this. But I'm going to tell you something. If God tells me to crawl around or get in a ditch, if God tells me to dress up like I'm a drunkard and sit on that porch out there and see if you invite me in or not, we're going to do it. Because we're going to get beyond ourselves. We're going to get beyond religion. And I tell you what, if I dance till my clothes fall off, I expect you to come up and cover me so that the curse that came upon David's wife don't come upon us. People touch the body of Christ and touch ministers so easy now. I have people come up to me and say, Phil, I had a vision of what you should do. I'm going to tell you how you should keep the church open and what you need to do when the next building comes. I got a question for you. If you got so much vision for a building and pastoring, get down the street, open the doors, and fill up the house. When it happens, I'll come in and preach for you. I'll sow a seed in you. But I'm going to love you right now, and I'm going to tell you something. That when we pray and we give you an assignment, you have all the vision. You can run anywhere you want to with it. I probably won't even come until the event happens and just come in and say wow and celebrate with you. But if you think you have a vision as the pastor of this church and you're going to try to tell me how to preach or what I should do or what I shouldn't do, I want you to go back and read about Moses. See, I used to stutter when I was a young man. Now I don't no more. But just because Moses stuttered, he had some help for a while. And they got so arrogant that instead of helping him, they thought they could rule him. One lady turned into a block of salt, and I don't know what else happened to everybody else. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Regina and I will pray, and we will set the direction of this church. But at any time you don't like it, you're welcome to call Pastor Dosick. Because I counsel with him every day, and we do have a board over us. Now, it ain't the board that you want. You want a board sitting in here trying to rule, not you guys, but people have in the past wanted a board sitting in this church trying to rule and tell me what to do. Listen, Regina's been fasted for me for 25 years, and she can barely keep me under control. And she's the only one I know that ever wrote a message for a revival that ain't even scheduled. So until you get that kind of faith, stay in your lane. I don't come to you and judge your relationship. I don't judge how you talk to your husband or your wife. And let me tell you something. I've seen things that, in all honesty, could offend me. But they don't, because every person has the liberty to be the Isaac and the Rebecca that they want to be. I pray that your marriage has so much fun in it that whole nations come and say, you told me that wife of yours was your sister, but I can tell that if we touch you, our whole house is going to come crumbling down. Listen, I ain't embarrassed by my wife. I'll look at her and tell her, honey, you're cute. I love you. I like your haircut. Today, your head was swinging and that hair was just shining, and I was in love like I was 20-something years old again. Praise God. Hallelujah. All I got to do is look at her, and I believe I'm 25. Woo! Hallelujah. But I want you guys to know something. Religion is done. Say this with me. Pastor Philip, religion is done. As the church of the second mile, we trust you and Pastor Regina, because we know you trust us. Listen, there's an old saying, and I'm sure it was in the... I know white hillbillies think this way. And I know black people think this way. Now, I don't drink anymore. And I don't get crazy anymore. But it used to be years ago that me and my brother... Not that I ever got drunk with my brothers, but my older brothers, they could get drunk and start fighting each other. And some clown would make the mistake of coming over. I never liked him anyway. And all of a sudden, those two drunk brothers that was fighting against each other, suddenly they were friends. And the poor man that made one little comment, he became their enemy. Now, wait, the poor man made a comment. He wasn't punching on him. But all of a sudden, Ron, is this true? Our anger would turn from our buddy that were punching each other drunk. Oh, you want to say something? You ain't even from around here. Now, listen to me. I'm only telling you because it wasn't no different for me. And I expect you to have that kind of attitude within this church. I don't want you punching on people. But if someone talks out of their mouth against you, you, or you, I would expect you to say, nope, I don't believe that about them. And I'm not listening to something I hear in my ear until I see, or unless I go to them and validate. I'll tell you what I used to do for Pastor Dosick. You know, this one time we had some clowns that come up and said, we don't believe in tithing. God, does he really want you? If you make $400 a week, do you think God really wants you to give $40? Yes, I do. You know why? Because Regina and I were so broke, I couldn't eat on Thursdays and Fridays. But when we started tithing, we were spending more money than we were making. But Ronnie, I was eating me a Big Mac. Ooh, brother, listen, I was eating me a Big Mac all of a sudden on Friday on God money. Now, the one time he did straighten me out, because I said, God, I can't believe I have so much money in the bank because I'm tithing. He said, well, it is because you're tithing. But it's also because you quit drinking and acting like a clown and you ain't spending $30, $40 a week on beer. Uh-oh. What? I won't say that. Am I allowed to say that out loud? Ronnie, am I allowed to say that out loud? Did I hear that someone might have spent $300? $200, $300 on, woo! Man, I ain't even in the ballpark, brother. We got some living done up here in Kenya. Well, yeah, I was about to say, okay, I got to be real. Regina just reminded me. We didn't have that much to spend. $30 or $40 was the top end of my budget. Praise the name of the Lord. But I'm sharing this openly with you because I will not receive an accusation against you. Make sure you don't receive one against me. From people or from that stinking devil that'll try to offend you, hurt you, twist my words. Listen, I deal with a lot of people. If I don't text you back in the next 24 hours or even 3 days, don't think that you ain't important. Shut up and wait your turn.
That's what I get told.
That's exactly what you get told, ain't it? One time I told you I was going to meet with you not too long ago, and I kept changing the time, didn't I? Till we met.
On for 3 days.
For 3 days. And finally, when we met, you're just so happy to meet that you agreed with my covenant in a moment of time and trapped yourself. But we won't tell. That's just between us. We won't tell anybody about that. he waited 3 days. There's something I needed him to do. Now, if he had done what God asked him to do the first time, he wouldn't have had to deal with my covenant. But anyhow, we won't talk about any of that.
I was talking about getting drug into Dayton.
Oh, yeah. That was even a better time. We were on a fast.
I can't believe I fell for that twice.
You fell for it twice. We were on a fast, and I changed the time of us meeting. Oh, we'll meet Sunday. Nope, Mr. Logan, we're going to eat Monday. Nope. And then I got invited to Dayton on Tuesday. I said, Logan, it's Tuesday we're really going to meet. We went down and had a great time in Dayton. Logan felt in Dayton like I felt the first time I came to Kenton. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, you come to Kenton and there's one little pepper spot in a sea of white. Hallelujah. In the area we were in Dayton, there was one little salt flake in the sea of black. Praise God, hallelujah. I said, Logan, I just want you to have an experience with me. But anyhow, I can't get so crazy tonight that I keep going on. My whole point is, I believe in you. God believes in you. I believe I'm in the most honored place I could ever be. Listen, I don't believe I'm here by happenstance. I believe I'm divinely put here. Now, what you have to challenge yourself is the foolish things to the world are wisdom to God. Come up here, honey. I like to ask people this. I met somebody the other day at an Anna parking lot. And those people had just helped me get somebody saved. So people in the store were talking about, oh, Dr. Phil, it's so crazy when you come around here. They call me Dr. Phil. They said, Dr. Phil, it's so amazing. They said, we can't believe how that person got saved the other day. And this lady by the name of Gina overheard this and was getting all excited because she's churchy and saved and telling her story. And I said, hey, I said, where did you just say you were from? She said, well, we live over here now, but my family and everybody still lives in Kenton, Ohio. I said, come on, girl. I said, come here. And I took out my favorite picture that I use for witnessing. It's one of the favorite pictures. When I tell someone I'm a pastor, and then I tell them where I'm a pastor at, all I got to do is show them my profile. Who is that? Who's on there? Who's on there?
You.
And who?
Me.
And all I did was go to this girl and I said, can you believe that God thought this was the perfect combination for Kenton, Ohio? I said, now listen. And she told me where her parents went to church. I said, oh God, that's a great man over there. I said, I know people over there. I said, so if that's where they go to church, keep them there. I said, but you and your family, when we open, if you just want to come for a visit on a non-church night, I said, because I'm proud of you. Said, you just got here and told me about your husband and your children and how at one time you guys were struggling, but now God's put you back together. I said, so stay in your church and keep your parents in their church. But if you know, because she was saying, I know where that is. I said, well, of course you do. We know where every sports event place is in Kenton. Baseball, softball, wrestling, football. We know where all the sporting places is. I said, so if you would be so honored don't change, but you could visit us if you wanted to. She said, yeah, because I hear stuff about you guys all the time. I didn't know. Sent us an official letter to the, didn't she email us? She emailed us saying, my goodness, I feel like I was touched by God today. A Kentonite, praise God. And the Anna Market, that don't even sound right, does it? You have no idea. If you would get beyond your fear and you would just witness or pray for someone, if you quit being self-focused, you have no idea how deep your life could touch people. I believe the whole city's going to get saved. So we can't fit everybody even in our new church. I believe that abundant life's going to grow. I believe that new hope's going to grow. I believe that the Nazarene church, that's a good man. Yeah, Kitten Folk, I believe these churches are going to grow. And we're going to support them, but I'm telling you, we're going to make room for everybody. If I got to go to two services in the next building, I'm putting you on notice before we get over there. Pick one, choose both, come anytime you want to. But don't try to tell me what we can't do, because I got to tell you that if 120 over there, like the 27 that walked out of this church uncomfortable when I went to two services, 27 in 1 month, how in the world can me as a pastor sit there and be cozy with family as status quo? Now, I'm only telling you this because you got to get ready to run. And you got to quit just looking at me. And each one of you have to start putting your hand to the plow so we can see God and say, wow. Okay, I'm done.
dismissed if you want to go. We're going to still play a couple more probably and just sit before the King. So you're welcome to leave. You're welcome to stay and continue worshiping with us.
As I come to